everyone, this is Mary from Rock of Life Fellowship. I lead the praise and worship music, and I'm also one of the youth and teen leaders. Rock of Life is a new place in Chico where people gather to learn that Jesus is real, always relevant, and wants a relationship with you. Each week, Pastor Alfredo shares a message from the Word of God that is current, relevant, and challenges us to grow our relationship with Jesus. Pastor Alfredo is also a worship leader and former singer of the Christian rock band, JBC. We get together each Sunday at 10 a.m. at 2090 Amanda Way at the Little Chico Creek Elementary School, two blocks past Winco off Forest Avenue. Now here's Pastor Alfredo with a recent Rock of Life message.
So I have been thinking about friends lately. And I've done a couple messages in the past about friends. Maybe this one's slightly different here. But I want to read to you a Bible verse that came, I was reading this week. James 2:23. And it so happened, just as the scriptures say, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteousness because of his faith, because of the faith that he had. He was even called the friend of God, which is how you get that song, friend of God. But James is talking about developing a relationship with God and placing your faith that you have in God, and then putting that faith into action. It's like doing things that show God that you have faith in him. So James is using Abraham as an example, who said to God, you know, God, you're first in my life. No one comes before you. And then he backed it up with how he lived. And if you don't know the story of Abraham, God actually told him to give up his son to prove his love for him. Abraham was perfectly willing. He put that faith into action, and God blessed him. And God was so impressed that he actually called Abraham, you know, you're my friend. The dictionary gives a definition of friend, and I like using definitions a lot. So we completely understand the biblical and the, you know, I guess the secular versions of the words. A person who knows, likes, and trusts an acquaintance. A person with one whom one is aligned in a struggle or a cause, you know, a comrade. Which kind of brings into an image of like having a friend that's, you know, you're battling together. It's just one of those topics that since I became a pastor just comes up a lot. And there's other topics when I talk to people that comes up a lot, you know, like whether it's, you know, struggles at work or trying to control certain things about your life that you're trying to get over. And we talk a lot about the fruits of the Spirit. And we talk a lot about the ways of the world. We're trying to overcome our anger or our, you know, trying to get in control of ourselves or control our tongues or our, you know, forgive people. But somehow this thing about friends comes up a lot. Almost more than most, actually. It's one of those topics that when you talk to somebody, I'm finding that the honest, earnest thing that people desire in people is just a true friendship. Having friends that you can bond with, you can laugh with, you can cry with, and you can praise God at any time with. Having a friend that'll pick you up when you're down and when you're struggling and give you an encouraging word and just sometimes listen. So why do I feel that God wants me to kind of deliver another message about friendship? Two reasons. Usually something happens during the week that turns a light bulb on in my head. Something happens where I go, oh God, this is like kind of impactful. And all of a sudden I start thinking of scriptures and God really, I believe God downloads a direction and a focus for the message. So I'm going to tell you what happened to me this week. And I usually don't share what happens to me when I get the messages, but this time I think I will. So I used to work for this cell phone company, and now I don't. Yay. Yeah. And as soon as all the contracts were over, I left them and I ported over to another cell phone company. Hey, man. And I won't name names. So I changed phone numbers for a few people, and one of them was Tommy, my son-in-law. We got him a number, a new number. Somehow when I typed in his number onto my cell phone, I typed in the wrong number. So about a week and a half ago, I called him But this lady answered. And I said, Tommy? I go, hey. She goes, yes. And I go, I guess I got the wrong number. And she goes, yeah. I go, I'm looking for Tommy. She goes, no, you got the wrong number. I said, thank God. So I go, great. So I don't know what I said to her. I don't remember. But about a week passed, and a few days ago, I went to call Tommy again. I guess I had his old number and the new number mixed up. But somehow I hit his old number again, the wrong number again, when I typed it in. And I got that lady again. And I said, hello. And she goes, hello. So I said, I guess I got the wrong number again. And she goes, yeah, you did. I go, I'm so sorry. That'll never happen again. I'm really sorry. And all of a sudden, she got really serious. And on the phone, she goes, hey, listen, would you do me a favor? Would you pray for a friend of mine? And I went, what? I go, why would you ask me to pray for your friend? And I will, but why would? She goes, well, you're with the church, aren't you? And I said, yeah, but how did you know? She goes, well, when you called me last week, you actually said Pastor Alfredo. Oh, hi, this is Pastor Alfredo instead of Alfredo, so I figured you're with the church. So we got in this big, long conversation, and she started talking to me about her friend that she loved so much that was in the hospital, and they gave her the last rites that night, the night before. And she says, it's the only friend I have in my life, and I just really need somebody to pray for her. And I said, sure, absolutely. So I asked her name. I asked her friend's name. And she told me that this friend had, her organs were shutting down. She's down to 25% action in her heart. It was only pumping at 25%. So she said all her family was coming in from out of town and stuff. And I said, absolutely, I'm going to pray. I could tell maybe that this person didn't have quite a relationship with God. But we prayed. And I really felt led to say, Lord, whatever is going on, you know this person more than I do. You know this person more than anybody. You know exactly what she's going through. You know exactly what the plan is for her. You know exactly how long she has here on this earth and when you're going to call her home. You know everything. And because you're sovereign and because you're in control of everything, I'm just thanking you. I'm just thanking you for this person. And if recovery, miraculous recovery is in your plans, I'm for that. Amen. So we talked for a while longer, and I asked if she was in Enlo, and she was. So she prayed with me a little bit more, and I hung up. And I was actually going to go to Enlo anyway. So I actually stopped in to see this lady. And when I walked in the room, she had her daughter with her. And so I walked in, I looked at this woman in the bed, and she's drinking Dr. Pepper and she's eating chicken or something. And I walked in, she goes, hi, who are you? I went, hello, how are you? And I looked at her in the bed, she goes, I'm doing great. And I looked at her daughter and I said, so just want you to know that I talked to her friend and wanted me to pray for her. And she goes, well, that's great because, you know, we were here last night. The doctor said she went last of the morning, and she woke up around 9:30, 9:45, and said she wanted Dr. Pepper and some food, some chicken. And I went, okay, that's cool. So she walked me outside because it was a little awkward, a little uncomfortable. But when we walked down the hallway and I said, hey, listen, I was praying this morning. I got the wrong number. I told her the story. We were praying about 9 o'clock. She was about 9:30, 9:45. She just woke up. And I went, well, how's she doing? And she says, well, the nurse and the doctor said it's a miracle that she woke up. So, you know, I don't, listen. All I'm saying is this. I got a phone call 10 minutes later, and it was this lady I talked to on the phone. And she goes, hey, Alfredo, guess what? My friend woke up. And she's like doing really well, and it's a miracle. And I said, I know, I'm at the hospital. And she goes, what? You're at the hospital? And I said, yeah, I'm standing right here. And I was blown away. I God is so in control, right? And I don't know why this happens and why other things don't. I don't know. All I know is what I see in front of me. And so I talked to the family for a while, and they said, well, the family's been in disarray for a while. They haven't even talked. And they're broken relationships. And the woman told me she hasn't talked to her son in years. And the daughter said she came in from the Bay Area. And she says they just felt like they were supposed to be here to kind of fix things. And this woman had a great sense of humor and was just talking to me. Says, yeah, my kids are here and I'm really happy. So I felt a little awkward again because like more people were coming in. I didn't get a really good chance to pray with her one-on-one because all these people were coming in and they were walking and going, Mom, sister, you know, auntie. And I'm standing in the corner of my Bible and my anointing oil and, you know, hi, you don't know me, I'm Alfredo. Hi, you don't know me. So I went out in the hallway. And I just prayed. I sit out in the hallway for a while and I prayed to go, Lord. So this woman called me again. I go, listen, are you coming back to the hospital? I would like to meet you. She goes, no, I went home. I had to take a shower. I was here all night. I said, listen, I just want to tell you something. God is in control and I don't know what's happening here. God does. But whether or not this woman lasts another hour, another day, another year, I don't know. But all I know is that there was a purpose for this moment right now. And if it was so that her family could get together and reconcile and have a moment to spend happy times with their mother, then I'm praising God for that. Amen? Give the Lord some praise. But I was so impressed when this woman said, out of the blue, wrong number, sorry. Can you pray for my friend? I was so touched by that. And she said that this woman's basically the only friend, and she told me some tough times she had been going through. She doesn't really live too close to here. But I was touched by that. I started thinking about friends. And I personally, right now, in the last couple years, have been so blessed because this fellowship has blessed me with real, really true good friends. And it's been a time where God's encouraged me to grow my relationship with Him because of the blessings of these people I've been meeting. I meet new people every week, and I genuinely care about everybody that walks in that door. Which kind of leads me to the second thing. We talked last week about what our mission is. Why are we here? Why is Rock of Life here? I recapped our mission. We just want to show people that Jesus is real. He's always been relevant, and He loves you so much that the one thing He desires is just have this active, daily relationship with you. No matter where you are in life, whether you haven't really given your life over to Christ, or you just met Him, or you've had a relationship with Christ for years. The vision that we have is to have a place, an atmosphere where people feel comfortable, where you walk in and you meet people, and it's family-oriented, and you feel like, hey, this is a place I can make some friends. See, the thing is that if we strive for our relationship with God, He blesses us in so many ways. That's why we talked about having our church called a fellowship. And I said this last week that we are a church. A church is the body. It's the people that make up the body of Christ. But it's a noun, a person, place, or thing. But fellowship, see, that's a verb. That's an action. We fellowship. We get together. We help each other grow. We make friends. We experience Jesus together. We help people up when they're down. We talk to them. We get to know them. We genuinely care about them. And if somebody walks in the door that doesn't have that relationship with Jesus yet, we need to, in a gentle manner, show them who Jesus is. Previously, when I've talked about godly friendships in the past, I've talked about how we have this influencing power over people in our lives. That we're to fellowship, hang out with people, and lead them to a direction, a relationship with God. Even when we struggle, when we fall, when we blow it, we can still maintain these friendships and struggle and persevere through the good times and the bad times. I even described how Jesus had friends around Him, His disciples. I compared the disciples of Jesus to friends and how we should be and what we look for in friends. I used the disciple Peter, who was like Christ's defender. Jesus had somebody who was energetic and had this fiery personality, and he supported Jesus like no matter what. Even when he blew it and denied him, he still came back. He was a protector of Jesus. He cut off somebody's ear when they tried to grab Jesus in the garden. And Jesus healed him. It was cool. It was somebody that inspires you and supports you. Then we talked about the disciple John, who was just dependable. It was the one that Jesus loved. A person you can depend on in all situations, who has your back and is there for you at all hours, at all times. It was John, when Jesus was on the cross being crucified, that John was there, and Jesus looked at him and said, "John, please take care of my mother." That's the kind of friend John was to Jesus. Somebody you can trust to take care of things when you need help. We talked about the disciple James, who was so loyal. And there's not a lot spoken about James. This is his cousin. He was there when Jesus needed him. Every time you go through the New Testament, there's James. Okay, and Jesus was James, and James was there. He was this calming presence. He was somebody that would listen. Even when your friend was venting, he wouldn't say much. He just allowed you to talk, share your feelings and your thoughts when you just needed to talk things out. We talked about how God wants so bad for us to strive and do what pleases Him and do what's right, because He loves you so much. He wants you to live a life that's pleasing to Him. Like Abraham. He called Abraham a friend because Abraham put his faith into action. And we talk about the fruits of the Spirit, that when you're walking with God, when you're walking in harmony with your husband and your wife and your kids, when you're walking in that with your friends and you guys have this common foundation where you love Jesus and you're just going, "God, you've blessed me so much. You treat me like a best friend." We take what God blesses us with for granted sometimes. We don't look at our wives and our husbands and our kids and our friends and our family and just appreciate the blessing. And that comes when we strive to have a relationship with God. And one of the benefits of that is this fellowship that we create, that God blesses us with. When we walk into doors and we see these people that are here for a reason. Awesome people we would not have met if we didn't have either a relationship with God or this feeling that we needed a relationship with God. God will put people in our lives. He'll place people that will help us through these different times in our life. No one should feel alone. Even if you don't have a friend at this moment that you can say, "Well, I just don't have this best friend. I just don't have this connection with a peer." God is there for you. He is your best friend, Jesus. And once we realize that, we can look at God's Word and we can start figuring out what God calls us to be as friends and how we are to make good friends. I'm just going to cover a couple of them. So how do we make these good, godly friends? First thing, actually, that God mentions a lot is number one, is that you need a fellowship. It's a verb. It's action. God says, don't forsake the assembly of the people. Basically, hang out with your friends. Get together. Meet with them. Hebrews 10:25 says, don't let us neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near. And we don't know when this whole thing's going to be over. But how cool would it be to be with all your friends, and all of a sudden you hear, and they know the roof opens up and the clouds, and like next thing you know, hey, you know, we're going up. So how cool would that be? Yeah, I know. One of these days that's going to happen. I'm like, yes. I just want to hear the trumpet. So, but when you hang out with people, when you get together, amazing, wonderful blessings will happen. A couple months ago, almost, I met a friend at Panera, which is like my office. I love Panera. I hang out there all the time. I'm hanging out with a friend, and we're talking, and I try not to be loud, but I guess sometimes I am. So we're talking about just, you know, people and God and, you know, Jesus, the basics, right? Jesus. So all of a sudden, this guy walks up to me and says, "Hey, I couldn't help but overhear you.
you know, what pastor are you a church of? And I'm a Rock of Life, blah, blah, blah. We start talking, and he sits down, pulls up a chair. Said, yeah, sure, sit down. So we start talking, and the next thing you know, this guy says, yeah, I'm from Hawaii. Oh, I'm from Hawaii. Oh, really? Great, great, great. Yeah, you're from Hawaii. Okay, where'd you live? Oh, I live in Hawaii, Kai. Oh, yeah, I went to Kaiser High School. I'm like, I went to Kaiser High School in Hawaii. And the next thing you know, we start talking about, you know, I was a senior, and then he came in as a freshman after that. So it's kind of cool. And that person's here today, actually, searching for a church. But we got together with somebody else, and next thing you know, God blessed me with another good friend. How awesome is God? So when you gather and you meet with people, God will find a way to bless you with friends. Second thing is, and this is one thing I actually struggle with a lot, show yourself friendly. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. There's a lot said in those two sentences. Having a friend in Jesus and being friendly. We need to be able to make friends. We need to show ourselves friendly at all times. I know we have our moments where we get frustrated and there's things going on. But if we use Jesus as our example, closer than a brother, because at times in my life, I wasn't very friendly. And I actually had even somebody tell me recently, told my wife, hey, is Alfredo really friendly? And I went, yeah. My wife says, yeah, he's friendly. Because I try to talk to him in the morning one time. It's kind of awkward. He seemed really focused. And just to let you guys know, that's not the best time to talk to me in the mornings. Like when we're trying to, you know. It's not that I wasn't being friendly. I just get really focused. But I got to remember that. My countenance needs to be friendly, even if I'm focused. Because when I first moved here from Los Angeles, you get used to the LA lifestyle, and there's not a whole lot of friendly people there. There are, but it's few and far between, really. So, sorry, LA. But it's a different culture is what I should say, right? So I moved up here to Paradise, and I'm like this. It's like, get this done. I was up here maybe a couple, 3 weeks. Oh, my car needs windshield wipers, and so I'm driving down the road, and there's people walking their dogs, and I'm driving, and they're waving at me. Hi. And I'm like, you know, did they have something in their hand? Did they throw something? I wasn't used to just strangers, you know, driving down the street, and, you know, you kind of move over a little bit, and they're like, hey, hey. I'm like, yeesh. So I go to this store, and I walk in, I'm like, get my windshield wipers, look in the book, yeah, that's what I need. I walk up to the counter, and then I walk up to the counter, I get my cash out, and the guy at the counter's like, hey, how you doing? Doing great. Haven't seen you around here. Are you new here? Yeah, I'm new here. I just moved here. Yeah. And he goes, well, yeah, so where'd you move up from? And I'm kind of like, can I just pay for my windshield wipers and go? I'm not really looking for another friend right now. I just, you know, I just want to fix my car and leave. So I wasn't used to the friendliness because it just wasn't in my countenance. No, it wasn't really. I mean, you know, I had the people around me and I just wasn't looking to make new friends, but I just wasn't super friendly. But it was a culture shock. Even after like almost a year of being here, it was difficult because at the time I just started becoming a worship leader and my wife and I were driving with the kids in the back, and we drove into our yard. If you've been to our house, we got this big, huge round circle, and kids were fighting, and I was distracted looking at them, and I wasn't looking where all these cars were parked on the side of our house. And I walked in, and when I walked in, I heard, you know, surprise! And there was like, you know, 30, 40 people in my house. They were throwing me a surprise birthday party. But because I wasn't in the friendly mode and the culture I was brought in was differently, I thought it was a home invasion. And I kind of ducked. People are waving at me, I'm ducking. But it scared me. I first thought, oh, home invasion, people are in my house. And so it was weird. I realized over the last several years that when you search for God and a relationship with Jesus, man, He just blesses you with the best people ever in your life. And during these last several years, especially the last couple years, I've met so many new friends. But there's one thing, this is the third thing, and I'm going to I'm going to end pretty soon, but I want you to know something. The third thing is, you have to realize that having best friends, that takes a lot of work. See, we're not always going to get along. We're different. And we're going to let each other down from time to time. But our eyes and our hearts need to be focused on Jesus and not the people. Because after being let down by people after a while, our human instinct is to walk away. I've had it. I've had it with friends. I get burned every time. I'm done. But God blesses us with something called grace, mercy, and forgiveness. Philippians 2:1-11 says, "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus." See, in our struggles to find good friends and have friendships, we need to remember that our mindset needs to be Jesus, who is loving, forgiving, merciful. And right now, with some of the division and things that's happening, and for us, we need to be united. See, but remember something, that here's a highlight for you. Being united is not about trying to change these others' minds and get them to think the way you think. It's about letting Jesus change our hearts. It's about letting Jesus work on us and letting Jesus work on our friends. We must know that there is no unity among God's people or without people without Jesus. I'm going to end with this. Here's a challenge for you. The key to how you develop your friends and how you fellowship with others and the people around you, it's determined how your relationship with God is and how you fellowship with Jesus. Because if we look at Jesus as closer than a brother, just a friend, a best friend, then He's our example. Then the way we want Jesus to love us and the way we want to love Jesus in our relationship is going to dictate how we have love and mercy and forgiveness for people around us in our lives. Being unified together happens with the love of Jesus. And if we approach people with that love, I guarantee it. Well, God guarantees it. You're going to have the best friends ever. John 13:34-35 says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." In John 15:15, it says, "I've told you these things for a purpose, that my joy might be your joy, and your joy wholly mature." We're learning. We're growing. He says, "This is my command, that you love one another the way I loved you. This is the very best way to love. Put your life online for your friends. You are my friends when you do the things I commanded you. I'm no longer calling you servants because servants don't understand what their master is thinking and planning. No, I named you friends because I've let you in on everything I've heard from the Father." Jesus is calling us. He's giving us the tools. He's showing us the example that He is to us, the way He loves us, the way we're to love other people. Jesus is calling us Christians to be the best friend we can be to others.
Hey everyone, this is Tommy from Rock of Life. I'm also a youth pastor and teen leader along with my wife, Mary. You can listen to Pastor Alfredo's messages here on KKXX at 12 noon Monday through Friday. You can also hit us up on our website at rockoflifechico.org to see Pastor Alfredo's messages on our YouTube channel link. And feel free to like us on Facebook. If you were inspired and blessed by today's message and would like to continue to hear more from Rock of Life on this radio program, visit our website, rockoflifechico.org, and support us with a one-time or monthly donation. At Rock of Life, we're a family, and everyone is welcome to come as they are, grow, or start your relationship with Jesus. Join us for weekly Bible studies for men, women, and teens, and check out the event calendar on our website for dates and times.
Thanks for listening, and see you on Sunday.